is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We begin hour number two. It is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross here. It's Circus Sports Fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. We're going to go north of the border this hour. Paul Bruno is going to join us to break down everything that we saw in the Stanley Cup Finals. And that is where we begin hour number two with our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
It's all over but the crying. What I kind of like about hockey, though, not a lot of crying from the losers, right? Like Edmonton, pretty classy in defeat. I know it stings. And, you know, not to get on my Rory McIlroy rant, but I did see that Stuart Skinner faced the music and addressed the media, and guys talk after disappointing things happen. I know it's very disappointing for Edmonton and Canada. They haven't won a Stanley Cup now since 1993. It stays back-to-back in Florida. With this easy 5-1 win last night, the under does cash for the first time in the series. But by the way, how about this? In the six games, Jensen, if you played the over in the first period in every game, you went 6-0 with two goals again last night to set the table here. And you and I talked about it, kind of felt like, boy, if Edmonton doesn't score first, Jensen, this could be a long night and the Cup could stop right here. As Stanley Cup tweeted out themselves, we're in the building. They're still in the building. It's not leaving Florida. What'd you make of Florida's second straight Stanley Cup championship?
They really earned it, and they put their foot down when they needed to. To think that Edmonton could not win a game in regulation in the Stanley Cup final, also with that offense and also with, you know, where the star power was with McDavid and Dreisaitl, you know, what Stuart Skinner had done from game fours and beyond. In the series leading up to the Stanley Cup final, and then really no resistance whatsoever. Good job out of Florida. Hockey Town USA resides in the Sunshine State. Wild to say that the league's worst ice has the team's best team. And so that is what it is. I just happened to take a look, and for conversational purposes, I know you and I had mentioned in hour number one, for people just joining us, Florida is not the top betting choice for next year, as far as who will hoist the cup next year. It is Edmonton, ironically, plus 650, Florida 7-1, Dallas is 9-1. Can I interest you in some early Stanley Cup, some way too early Stanley Cup futures for 25-26? So I thought this was intriguing. The Colorado Avalanche at 10-1. Of course, Nathan MacKinnon, Cale Makar, VGK, the Knights at 12-1. Tampa Bay at 14-1. And then how about some like super duper, like way long ones? Like even this was what I kind of thought when I had my Capitals 35-1 future last year, or this past season. Vancouver at 50-1. And then just for posterity, I know we'll have a new head coach in Pittsburgh, but 150-1 for Pittsburgh. Whoa.
I'll tell you what, how good did your Caps ticket look when they win the President's Trophy, right? And you get the most wins in the regular season. You're feeling like, wow, that's a great ticket. It really was. I mean, you did have the value in it. But I'm with you. Like, do I really want to play the short number here in Edmonton? Who's going to be the goaltender? No disrespect to Stuart Skinner. You would think they might need an upgrade there if they're going to win that. And by the way, Sam Reiner, they had five goals last night. He had four of them. Matthew Tkachuk had the game winner there. And again, Sam Bennett is the Conn Smythe Trophy winner as the most valuable player in the entire postseason. Trouble in Indianapolis in the form of Tyrese Halliburton and his right calf. Did suffer a strain to it. He's going to have an MRI to determine the severity of it. For those that are living under a rock, game six is tomorrow night. There will be no game seven if Indianapolis cannot win this game here. Can they win it, Jensen Lewis, without Tyrese Halliburton if he can't go?
I mean, yes, there is a pathway to that, because we've seen Oklahoma City allow teams to kind of stay around when they shouldn't.
Right.
I just wonder what the morale is of that locker room, if indeed they already know, or if they find out here when you and I begin the show tomorrow, that it's going to be without the guy who has been single-handedly one of their most important pieces, just from, you know, the last second shot, some of the daggers here that have allowed Indiana to continue on this run. You never want to see, I can tell you from an athlete standpoint, And Oklahoma City is not crying or feeling bad whatsoever because they're in it to win a title. But you always want to go up against a team that's fully healthy. Just there's just something about that satisfaction of they had everything going and we beat them. And that would be the only other caveat here is there any letdown whatsoever from the Thunder, or is this even more emphasis of, guys, they're wounded. Do not let them get up. Do not let them really feel the fever, ironically, of that Indiana crowd. You have got to put them away early. And so that would be the handicap for me, Dave, is if you think OKC, and we find out that Halliburton is not going to be able to play, then that might be a first half, you know, spray where you're like, they're just putting it to bed. We're not messing around here. We're going to take care of business and put the Pacers away for good.
Yeah, that wounded animal theory is a real one. You back them in a corner, you take away their best player. Oh, Siakam's been their best player, I understand, but Halliburton may be the focal point of it. Really running the offense, that's a key. So TJ McConnell, you got to think, is going to get extended minutes there. Again, that number is up to 6.5 here to the way of OKC. The total, though, is surprising to me, down to 222.5. Obviously, take away his scoring, but he only had 4 points in game five anyway with that injury, and that game still did go over. College World Series is still going. Louisville, they're still alive and kicking. Maybe Tanner Shriver has got designs on getting not one, but two rings this week because he's going to be getting married. Married? Yeah, she married Oli Bonk. 3 days, that's 16 candles. 3 days away for Tanner Shriver to get married. Jensen, there's no way this has an adverse effect on the Cardinal, right? This has got to be something the guys are talking about. And we know that young Tanner is still trying to get kind of his bearings on what he might have to do. Let's hear from Tanner first on what it looks like with the nuptials just days away.
Things in place. Luckily, my tux came in early, so I got to get it before I left. So, but the pants didn't fit. So I'm like, I have like 3 pairs of pants I gotta figure out. Hopefully, one of them fits me. And so luckily I got my pants already, and I just gonna have to put on my tux and shave, and I should be good.
I think the shaving's okay. I think he gets a pass on the wedding day if he doesn't have time for that. 3 days away. Kid's getting married. He's got to play some baseball in the interim, Jensen. Does it affect Louisville at all, or is it just a nice sidebar story?
It's a great sidebar story, and you nailed it for people just joining us, listening to the program, watching a VSiN Watch app. Very Hangover-esque, you know, at the end of the movie where, you know, they're flying down the freeway and they got the van that comes up is handing, you know, the bags of the suits and the tuxedos to get ready. So, hey, you got to take care of business first today. And what a compelling double dip we have in the College World Series. So Louisville and Coastal Carolina will match up in the afternoon affair here, 2:05 Eastern time. Louisville must win, Dave, to stay alive. If Coastal Carolina is able to defeat them, Coastal will then move on and qualify for the College World Series finals. And then Arkansas and LSU in the nightcap. Arkansas in a similar boat. They must win to stay alive themselves. LSU with a win clinches their spot to go back and try and win another national title. So no word yet. If Libby Dunn stays in town, no, she's a huge fan of our program. Appreciate Paul Skeens and Libby tuning in every day. But, you know, Arkansas, LSU, these were the two teams, Dave, you and I talked about at the beginning. We told people if you did not want to jump in the futures market right away, wait for the loser of that first matchup and then potentially roll over your money lines. Or get, I think you could have gotten Arkansas as high as plus 650, which is very similar, Dave, to where they were before the tournament started, before the field of 64 in regionals. So, again, I have an official play in pocket. I do have Arkansas minus one, an alternate line, about plus 102 there. I do think Arkansas wins tonight and forces a winner take all tomorrow. Going to be an electric atmosphere there tonight with the hog season on the line.
Again, don't know if Tanner Shriver has any of his teammates as groomsmen, but I could definitely see that hangover scene playing out here as they're trying to frantically get from the diamond to the altar. And there's a limited time. Maybe they're still wearing their hats. Who knows? Maybe they're still in uniform. Who knows what that might look like for Tanner Shriver? But we root for love in the show. So we just hope that everything works out for the young, happy couple down there in Louisville. By the way, we've been talking a lot of football. We will be talking a lot of football, certainly, as we start to turn the page here from the NHL and certainly the NBA postseason. If you want to play Circa Survivor right behind me here or Circa Millions contest, you've got the opportunity to do it for free. How? Check out Winner's Circle Proxy. They're giving away one free $1,000 entry to each contest plus full proxy service. That's a big deal. And get this, you're going to be paired with a VSiN host for strategy all season long to help you get into that winner's circle. So enter now for your chance to win. All you have to do is visit winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN. That's winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN. Jensen, how many contests are you going to have? Have you already formalized? Is it just one? Are you going to do both? Because I've got my eyes right now on Survivor with my boy John Chu.
Yeah, I was talking with Mitch Moss while we were in Omaha, and he was very kind and joking with me. He goes, hey, how many entries into Grandissimo are you going to get? And I tried to play along real quickly. I'm like, you know, I don't know, but maybe I could call some of my former buddies. You know, if we split it up 10 ways, yeah. 10 grand a piece, it's not bad. Definitely will be in Circa Millions for sure. Deciding on how many entries for Circa Survivor, I would have to believe that you and I will at least get one for show purposes. Boy, if we had the silver bullet, man, got all the way to Thanksgiving.
Oh my.
Let's go.
You and I could have a real sweat on the program, that is for sure. All right, when we come back, let's get to it. This edition of the Daily Diamond, it's up next.
VSiN by the books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the books. Gonna have Paul Bruno join us in the next segment. Can't wait to catch up with Paul. Does a great job at RotoWire, and not only does he know his hockey up and down, we'll take a quick look at what happened certainly in this series and look ahead to next year. Big Dallas Cowboy fan. That's why Paul Bruno is just a good, solid person to have in the program. Let's get to it without further ado. Today's edition of the Daily Diamond. Jensen, you do a great job of breaking it down each and every day. Today, you're breaking down some trends that you see out there.
Yeah. Okay. So we've got enough of a sample here, Dave, where we can start looking at maybe some different head to heads, some different situational spots. And a couple of these popped up for me looking through yesterday afternoon. So let's start with non-division games. Mm. All right. So teams matching up that obviously don't play in the same division. The Blue Jays and the White Sox are covering the respective run lines over 60% of the time, Dave. That's the best mark in Major League Baseball. And then when it comes to actual division games, the Padres are the only team covering over 70% of the time. That is also the best mark in Major League Baseball. So head-to-heads here today that satisfy some of those with those best marks. Diamondbacks, they ended up, unfortunately, blowing a lead for me last night, but it got us to a push of the over nine yesterday. Blue Jays back-to-back homers to win it walk-off style. So the Blue Jays and Diamondbacks will lock horns again today. The Cardinals absolutely pasted the White Sox yesterday. So hopefully Chicago can get back on the right side of things. As you mentioned, the Padres covering yesterday against the Dodgers in a one-run defeat. So anxious to see where those numbers play out, but just some interesting ones to take a look at here as we start to get into the middle of June.
Yeah, because you feel like now you've got a big enough sample size here, Jensen, that as we get into the middle of June, that these numbers are not just, you know, they're gonna flip around. You've got enough data to feel pretty comfortable in some of these trends.
We'll obviously get to the All-Star break, yeah, and see, you know, what made sense in the first half of the season. Remember, early on, we were all over the Sacramento overs. That's there, right, before the books finally caught up to that. That's something we'll also revisit, I think, at the halfway point. Also, George Steinbrenner Field, kind of more sensitive to wind conditions than maybe even Wrigley Field. For the left-handed bats, particularly, will be of benefit. So again, just those certain matchup trends that will play out and maybe ways to attack them today.
Yeah, it's a really good way to do it is you've got the data now and then wait till we get to the certainly the trade deadline and then the All-Star break here or the All-Star break, then the trade deadline and make sure before you take some of those future shots in the second half, the data points seem to align there. How about my Metropolitans? Maybe you've got something today. Paul Blackburn's on the bump. What do you see today against the Braves and the data points?
Yeah, so the Mets actually, and you got to see it to believe it. That's my headline because some of these numbers are eye-popping yeah. in of themselves. The Mets, Dave, lead Major League Baseball in under percentage as underdogs. 80-plus percent of the time, they're hitting the under when they are just simply an underdog.
Wow.
And that will be the case today, as you mentioned, Paul Blackburn against Chris Sale, Atlanta with a big-time comeback late to get past the Mets. The Cardinals, I mentioned them in our first matchup trend, and they also are in on totals here. They lead Major League Baseball in over percentage as favorites, covering that 60% of the time. It'll be Sonny Gray against Sean Burke today in the Windy City. And so you could see it was, I mean, never a doubt, the over yesterday. VSiN Pro subscribers gave out the over 9 yesterday to even money. That gets home as the Cardinals put up double digits against the White Sox. So, again, that's why I made the headline. You got to see it. I would not have had. Now, the Mets rotation has been really good, as we know.
Mm-hmm.
But with that offense, I would think that, you know, some overs would be in there as well. But, boy, 80-plus percent of the time, Dave, I mean, that's pretty convincing. And again, the 8.5 is the total here for the Mets and the Braves in that Blackburn and Sale matchup. So we'll take a look and see where some of the data and the money comes in a little bit later on. But I thought that one stuck out. I knew you would appreciate it as well.
I do. I will say this, because Wyatt Tomczyk, the first thing when I walked in today, said, that's one. Like that's one. The Braves got us, right? That comeback yesterday. 25-1 for the Braves to win the division. And I'm trying to find a playoff number, and it's off the board right now. I'll see if I can find it. Okay, wait, I got one. Braves to make the postseason plus 360. There is a yes-no market, by the way. I appreciate those. Minus $5 for the Braves to miss the postseason. Does plus 360 intrigue you at all in the Braves?
Of course. Yeah. And I think I told you about that earlier, was that even for them to find a way into the tournament, Alex Anthopoulos, about as good as any GM out there of being able to identify the weaknesses, be shrewd when he made some deals. And remember, just a handful of years removed from when Ronald Acuña Jr. went down,
oh, man,
a season-ending injury, and Anthopoulos went out and got basically traded for an entirely new outfield, including Jock Peterson in there, Jorge Soler, who was such a huge part of them moving forward. So no surprise here. That number, I think, is completely advantageous for people that want to jump in right now.
I'm going to try to have that stricken from my memory book. Let's get to maybe some numbers that have you asking a question today.
Okay, so let me preface this with the Yankees have not scored in what, 25 innings, 29 innings, however long it's been. I just cannot wrap my head around what's going on. So my headline is, oh, really? and we do involve the Yankees. And maybe we should have known this moving forward, that they would come into a little bit of a rut here. Dave, they lead Major League Baseball in under percentage when it's an American League team that they have as an opponent, almost 68% of the time, and they're covering the under by nearly a full run.
Whoa.
Okay, so they haven't scored since you and I were born. so that might be something to kind of follow here. The Milwaukee Brewers, when they are away underdogs, have covered their run line also by 68%.
Wow.
By an average of 2 runs. They are getting a run and a half today. And again, you got to lay a little bit of juice here, minus $1.72 against the Cubs. That'd be Jacob Mizrowski, the young phenom who we saw just be electric in his debut against Jameson Taillon. But I wouldn't be mad at you, Dave, if you want to take an alternate run line there for the Brewers today. If you want to jump in on a plus one, that might be a little bit more affordable if you don't want to lay the juice. And then the Yankees already on the run line are $1.13 as they are minus -1.5 there. I don't know if you want anything to do with that,
Jeez. But
they have a 10. The total is a 10, okay, for Yankee Stadium today. Jack Hanawitz against Ryan Yarbrough. Can I interest you in an under 10? the way that the Yankees haven't scored forever.
Well, you know the way this works, right, in the clubhouse. You feel like if they don't get one, we talked about in the Stanley Cup Finals, right, last night, like if Edmonton doesn't get one early, that pressure starts to mount of when do you get that kind of break the ice and break the seal. If the Yankees don't score in the first couple innings, again, you get to the bottom of the lineup here in the third inning, per se, and you turn the lineup over and you still haven't scored, is that pressure, like Jensen, they feel that now, right? They know the streak that's going on with the Bombers. And yet, conversely, Judge hits a bomb in the first inning. Maybe it all, you know, the proverbial air is you finally can exhale, and then they just go on this rampage and score a bunch of runs. Could it be one of those two scenarios, either feast or famine?
It certainly could. And I was trying to find, you know, again, some player props that maybe people would like to jump in on. But, you know, here again, it's just there's nothing popping for the Yankees. And it makes sense just knowing how difficult it's been for them to score some runs. If you are looking at a particular player props to potentially bat here, Spencer Horwitz, five straight games with a hit for the Pirates against the Tigers today. Adolis Garcia to have a hit, three straight games now. That he's done that. Trying to see if there's anything else that would make sense for us here. But yeah, again, it is fascinating to me from a run scoring standpoint, how much the Yankees have struggled. And particularly when they're back home, I mean, they usually run into a cheap home run somewhere. That has not been the case. And of all people, Kyle Hendricks to shut them out through six yesterday, like, oof. That's salt in the wound right there.
Great call on the Daily Diamond yesterday. Remember the day off stat you had for the Royals? And they have day off. They go down to Texas. They win 6-1. So these numbers certainly are very actionable out there for you. By the way, ProfitX offering the best odds all baseball season long. So ProfitX, if you're not aware, it's a peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40 or more states here. It's the first of its kind here in the United States. You're going to be able to make your sports picks against other groups of fans rather than the sports books themselves. That exchange is going to guarantee you the best odds on average by 10 to 20%. You can even request your own odds. So download ProfitX today. Use the code VEASAN. Earn up to $200 in profit cash for your very first month. Once again, that code VEASAN. Okay, when we come back, we're going to talk all things puck with the great Paul Bruno, north of the border, does a great job at RotoWire. So I'm sure, Canada, it's a sad day. We understand. And we here in the States are not trying to throw salt in the wounds for what happened yesterday. It's been since 1993 since they won a cup. Maybe next year will be the year. We'll discuss that next year with Paul when you come back with us. It's VEASAN by the book.
VEASAN by the books, right here on VEASAN.
We are back, VEASAN by the books, in this Wednesday edition. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here, and it's really a pleasure to go north of the border to catch up with our next guest. We affectionately call him the Beast. He's one of the nicest guys you're ever going to meet. Paul Bruno does a great job. Senior NHL writer at RotoWire joins us here in the Progressive Guest Line. Give him a follow at Statman22 on X. Paul, great to catch up with you. You know, Jensen and I have been talking a lot about what we saw last night down there in Sunrise, Florida, as the Panthers go back-to-back to win the Cup. And we have been talking about it a lot, that it's been since 1993, since Canada has won Lord Stanley's Cup. Is that a palpable thing north of the border in Canada, that it doesn't necessarily matter if it was Vancouver, if it was Ottawa, if it was Edmonton, if it was Toronto? They just want to get the Cup back in Canada.
There are some feelings like that in some quarters. I don't have that sense at all personally. I actually hate several of the teams north of the border because I'm a staunch Toronto fan. And so I haven't lost a minute of sleep. And Dave, I'll point out that since a Canadian team won the Stanley Cup, 70% of rostered players who have won the Cup in that time are born in Canada. Ooh. So you can take that and put it in your pipe and smoke it for a while, I guess, if you want to make it a Canada versus US. But that's the slant that I prefer to talk about.
Yeah, Paul, that's a great point. And again, when you look at just kind of where the chips fell this year, let me start with the Maple Leafs, because I think a boatload of questions for them to answer from a roster construction standpoint. How do you see their offseason playing out? And again, you know, a team, and ironically, they lose to the eventual Stanley Cup champions in Florida. What is your sense of where they go with, you know, everything surrounding Mitch Marner? We know Austin Matthews all of a sudden was on a milk carton at points there in the playoffs. How do you see their offseason and potentially some murky waters that they have to navigate to?
Well, the fork in the road is going to be what happens with Mitch Marner. He's obviously one of the core four players, one of the top forwards in the NHL. And I see him signing for a record NHL average annual value this offseason. I don't think it's going to be with the Maple Leafs. And that's going to afford the Toronto club a great opportunity to kind of change the DNA. That's been the watchword that we've been hearing locally, that they're going to change the core, and losing Marner is going to facilitate that, because they're going to have about $26 to $30 million to spend under the new cap max, which is $95.5 million. And there are a few players available this year that are intriguing, including the guy that won the Conn Smythe Trophy last night. We can get into that a little bit later. And so there is ample opportunity for this team to change their look, their outlook. And they started last year with Brad Treliving really making this team a little bit tougher to play against. He revamped the goaltending and the defense. He's got a little more work to do up front. And I'm optimistic. I really am, that this team will challenge again and hopefully go a little further than they did this year. But I'll make the point that they're the only team that took Florida to seven games in these playoffs.
Yeah, it seemed like the toughest path for Florida to repeat as champions was against Toronto. By the way, the Maple Leaf for next year is 20-1. That is interesting if Marner's gone, and maybe a Sam Bennett, as you're alluding to, winning the Conn Smythe last night, could be that guy. To potentially, that would be a massive shift there. Edmonton is the favorites to win it next year at plus 650. And by the way, if they do go back to the Stanley Cup final, that would be 3 years in a row, which is what Florida's done now. Florida's 7-1 there. I think for Edmonton backers, they're going to be saying, well, something would have to change between the pipes. Is that the number one thing that Chris Knobloch and company and Stan Bowman, that they would have to address? Or could they try to piecemeal this thing together for one more run?
I don't like their chances next year at all, David, and I'll say it, because they have the question in goal that you mentioned, but they also have an aging group of forwards and defensemen around their signature pieces up front in Draisaitl and McDavid that are getting older. They've got a bunch of people that are over 30 years of age, and they've lost twice in the final. What makes anybody think that they're going to come up and win in a third attempt? I don't see it. I just can't, for the life of me, make sense that it's going to happen. And I'll throw a little more news out there. Edmonton fans have to be concerned. Starting July 1st, you're going to start hearing about Connor McDavid's next contract. And I'm here to tell you, it won't be with the Edmonton Oilers.
Oh,
well, that is a bombshell, but maybe one that they need to be ready for. Mm. Paul, I always love taking a look at the way too early futures board, as Dave kind of alluded to. Let me throw you three teams. Go wherever you'd like. Of course, Dallas, you know, looking how they ended the regular season, we thought there's no way they can get out of the first round. And then, you know, it was just a remarkable run for them. And Jake Oettinger, a big reason why, too, in goal. Let me give you the Stars at 9-1. The Avalanche at 10-1 and VGK at 12-1. Of those three teams, who's well positioned in your mind this offseason to potentially get deep into the Stanley Cup playoffs next year?
I like the Dallas Stars. I've liked them for a couple of years. They have the best goalie situation of the three teams that you mentioned. That's a big factor for me. And they have a very stout defense. So they got a lot of pieces in place. They're a younger team than the other two that you mentioned as well. So less work to do in terms of making them competitive. And so I think Vegas, you never know what they're going to. They roll up their sleeves and they make the blockbuster move every year to change their composition. And I have a lot of respect for George McPhee, a guy that I've known for years and years. And he's the architect of a lot of the changes that have kept that team relevant since they joined the NHL. And so you can never count them out. But I think Dallas is the team that I think has what it takes in place right now. Very little extra work to do to build that team to a team that will be at or near the top of the mountain again next season.
I'm right there with you, Paul, in the admiration for George McPhee, as we called him back in D.C., GM. That's what he was back in our D.C. days. You mentioned the bombshell. that Edmonton might have to come to grips with what happened with the great one when he left Edmonton. Wayne Gretzky went to L.A., as we all saw so many decades ago. But when he left Edmonton, he had four Stanley Cups in tow that he already had won north of the border. If you really think that Connor is going to go, is it going to be on that ilk of a Wayne Gretzky leaving to come stateside here? And if so, where do you potentially see McDavid going?
I have it on very good authority, Dave. This is a great question. We didn't rehearse this. I have it on great authority that he's coming to Toronto. And the reason is because he is from this area. He was born just a few minutes from where I live in Richmond Hill, just north of the city. And if you can dig it up on the internet, you can find a meme of the day that he was actually the subject of the lottery win for Edmonton. His reaction captured in that moment was one of absolute abject despair, because the team that was right there with Edmonton as a top contender when those balls dropped the way they did was, in fact, the Maple Leafs. And he looked like he lost his best friend when the result was shared, because he was excited about the other possibility.
So do you think...
I'm very optimistic that he's coming here.
So if that's amazing, connecting the dots, getting 20-1 for Toronto next year. If you're Edmonton, you can't let him get to free agency without a new contract. Could there potentially be a trade in the works next year to get Connor out of Edmonton to kind of get the full market value if you're Edmonton?
Well, he's going to be about 27, 28 years old. No, 28 probably is what it is. And if they get him for 7 years, any team, that takes him to age 35. That's long enough, I think. And I mean, you wouldn't be fighting to get that extra year at age 36 when any player would be subject to some sort of decline. So I don't think that's a major sticking point in the prospects of any team that goes out to try and get him, unless he makes it one and says, I want to be on a team for 8 years. So that's the contingent point, but I don't see it being the tipping point to forcing a sign and trade situation with any team.
Fascinating stuff right there. And that is a massive nugget. I will be running to bet Toronto 20-1 as soon as we're done here. Okay. So this past year, Paul, I was telling Dave this, and ironic we bring up DC. I took a shot, on the Capitals at 35-1. And for a while there, I thought, I was like, well, this is going to work out swimmingly. So I usually like to look down for a couple of lottery ticket teams as far as the way too early odds board goes. Let me give you two teams. Give me an outlook. I know Pittsburgh is going to have a new man behind the bench and an intriguing roster construction in and of themselves. They're 150-1. Now, again, if that somehow is live at some point this year, then I'll be really happy. But I looked at Vancouver at 50-1. We got about 30 seconds left. Young core, improving defense, maybe a shot in the dark, but one that could have a little bit of legs to it.
Boy, both of those teams are such long shots. I don't see it happening for either one. There's way, way too much work to be done for both of those clubs. And I have it in for the Pittsburgh GM and president, Kyle Dubas, who has all but sewered that franchise for a long while. I admire Sidney Crosby's commitment to the club, but he's going to be golfing right at the end of the regular season each of the next couple of years. There's no hope for either of those clubs.
Paul, you're the best. Great to catch up with you again. We'll do it. I didn't even get a Cowboy question in because we ran out of time, but that was great information as always. Everybody give him a follow on X at Statman 22 and check him out at RotoWire. Amazing stuff there. All right, Jensen. Whoa, a lot to digest there. We got much more to get to here. So come on back. We'll talk about a lot of these things when you come back with us here at VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books. What a conversation with the Beast, Paul Bruno, in the last segment. And shout out to my guy, Ferdy Tolentino's, watching back home, listening back home in Virginia. He just fired on Toronto to win the Stanley Cup at 20-1 next year. I mean, Jensen, that, for those that missed the segment, again, if you VSiN Pro subscriber, go back and watch in your time. Again, does Connor McDavid leave? He's going to be a free agent after next year. If they want to get full market value, you would start to, as he said, that contract talk is going to be the talk around Edmonton. And Connor McDavid, he believes It's going to be Toronto. I mean, Jensen, where does that number go if Connor McDavid goes to Toronto? What's that look like? 7-8-1?
I just locked in at 24-1 on FanDuel.
Wow.
The Maple Leafs to win it. So I got shares of DraftKings at 20-1, FanDuel at 24-1. What does this number look like when we do the show tomorrow? That was a bombshell.
Oof.
Wow. Can you imagine what that line again?
Oh, no,
Mitch Marner. Someone get a hold of Rachel Dory. What does goodbye Mitch Marner, hello Connor McDavid look like there?
Oh my goodness gracious! With Austin Matthews, just saying that would be something if that happened. Maybe it doesn't happen for a year, and I would still say those numbers 20-1, 24-1, even if it's not Connor McDavid midseason or in the postseason here. I still think that's a playable number for as talented as they are. You have to expect them to make moves in the offseason, whether it's Mitch Marner moving on from him. But it looks like Toronto's in a pretty good space to go. By the way, check out Sharp Plays if you haven't done so already. Unmatched transparency, records updated daily, AI betting analysis, real-time global betting info, alerts directly from the pros. So again, sharpplays.com, they are trusted by the pros, watched by the books, have been around since 2011. So check them out now at sharpplays.com. Without further ado, I got to ask you a very important question. Is this news or noise?
Is it news?
Corleone is a man who insists on hearing bad news immediately.
Or just noise?
Are you going to act like this is news?
Just noise. Noise.
Let's separate the impactful from the insignificant with one simple question. News or noise?
It's that time of the year where we start to talk about trades, not only as we just mentioned with the NHL potentially, now that their season is over, but, you know, it's always a hot stove in the offseason for Major League Baseball. Before you get to that trade deadline, Jensen, you can start to look at those trades now, because I think some people go, why wait? Why wait for these potential blockbusters if you really want to change the complexion of your team? I know Jim Bowden from back in my DC days. I know you know him very well. Jensen, outline today some of these hypotheticals that Bowden has lined up.
Yeah, so great stuff. If you are a subscriber to The Athletic, Jim does a great job week in and week out of giving you some insights from a former GM and, again, as plugged in as anyone with front offices around Major League Baseball. So he put together, Dave, about six different hypotheticals or teams and trades that he would love to see happen by the trade deadline or at the deadline. So the first one would be the Chicago White Sox and the San Diego Padres lining up. That would send Luis Robert Jr. to the Padres for Cash Mayfield, a left-handed pitcher, Kavarez Tears, an outfielder and infielder, Cobb Hightower. Again, it satisfies a lot of different parts of a Chicago White Sox group that is obviously not going to win anytime soon. But the way that Will Venable has them playing right now in his first year, continuing to gather, you know, young players that are going to be parts of their future. And then the Padres addressing a massive need. And, you know, Dave, you've ever been to Petco Park. It's a pretty spacious center field, and you're looking for a rejuvenation opportunity for Luis Robert Jr. Well, it would certainly be right into the thick of a pennant chase with the San Diego Padres. Imagine this lineup, potentially, Fernando Tatis Jr. in right, Luis Robert Jr. in center, Gavin Sheets, who's had an unbelievable year for them so far, in left. And then you can probably have Tatis, Luis Arraez, Manny Machado, Gavin Sheets, Xander Bogaerts, Jake Cronenworth, Luis Robert Jr.
Wow.
Now, that's a lineup that can potentially take down the LA Dodgers, the Met. I mean, that's a lineup now you can get serious about for the Padres into October.
Yeah, I think that would be big news if A.J. Preller can make a deal like that for that specific player, as Jim Bowden, that hypothetical deal out there. But again, these are going to be the conversations that we have in the futures market here if the Padres were able to pull off a trade like that. Let me ask you if this would be news or noise if this potential deal happened that Jim put out there. Felix Bautista, the big right-hander, leaving Baltimore, Charm City, and Cedric Mullins, and they go to the Phillies for Mick Abel. Now, obviously, that would fill a void in the back end of the bullpen for Philadelphia. Would that change the dynamic enough for you to make that news, or would it still be noise?
It would be massive news for me, because it's the one area you feel of the Philadelphia Phillies, as far as the back end of their bullpen, that needs to get addressed. And you bring up Jose Alvarado, who has the 80-game suspension, mm-hmm. will be ineligible for the postseason. Right now, it's a pretty thin unit for Dave Dombrowski's back end of his bullpen. Rob Thompson still looking for perhaps some extra arms there. But you could imagine, if you're a Phillies fan, that you could run out Ryan Kirkering, Matt Strom from the left side, and then Jordan Romano and Felix Bautista. Now, that right there is a heck of a lot better from being able to shorten the game and have some massive swing and miss opportunities. Now, Cedric Mullins, too, provides a bit of some insurance from a left-handed bat and also maybe a guy off the bench that they could really use. Edmundo Sosa, pretty much a right-handed hitter that they like to use. But Johan Rojas is really the only outfielder of note that they really use in those particular situations. Brandon Marsh plays center field for them right now. Max Kepler in left. Those are two left-handed bats. And, of course, Nick Castellanos, who unfortunately had some potty mouth for his manager, was benched yesterday. This makes a lot of sense, not only from a Philly standpoint, but also you're looking at, and we've said this ad nauseum, hello, Baltimore, when are you going to like make a move of consequence? Well, Mick Abel not only slots into that rotation at the top of it from years moving forward, but now you start to dream a little bit more if you're Baltimore on potentially a Mick Abel, Grayson Rodriguez, when he comes back to being healthy, if you get Kyle Bradish. Also, you know, you never know where this American League is going to play out, but I think that's a mutually beneficial trade from what Jim has kind of cooked up there for both sides.
Yeah, and I'm with you. And again, when you look at the futures market here, Philadelphia is the third betting choice to win the pennant at 475. That feels like it's a little bit baked into the cake that they're going to make a move for some help in the back end of the bullpen, whether it's going to be a Bautista or not. News or noise that if Sandy moved on from South Beach and went to the north side of Chicago, that's all the difference it would take for the Cubs. Would that be news or maybe noise if he's not the same guy?
All right, so here is the theoretical or hypothetical trade that Jim Bowden proposed. The Marlins would trade Sandy Alcantara to the Cubs for their top pitching prospect in Cade Horton, Owen Casey, Kelvin Alcantara, and Ronnie Cruz, three position players along with the stud and Horton. I don't know if because of the injury and the ineffectiveness for Alcantara that Jed Hoyer and Carter Hawkins want to bite here.
Ooh,
that feels somewhat steep. But then again, you're looking at a rotation right now for the Chicago Cubs that will be without Justin Steele for the rest of the year. They should be getting Shohei Imanaga back here from the strained hamstring relatively soon. Javier Assad also on the IL with a strained oblique. So right now, and credit where it's due, I mean, the Cubs are running out of rotation of Matthew Boyd, Colin Ray, Ben Brown, Jameson Taillon, and Cade Horton. Mm. And the fact that they're still 6.5-7 games up in the division is respective of what those guys have put together. Food for thought here, Dave. Would you buy stock in a rotation that is about league average in ERA, bottom third in strikeouts per nine, bottom third in hits per nine, bottom third in home runs allowed per nine, even with an offense that's second in runs, fourth in OPS and fifth in homers? Would you buy any stock in the Cubs for staying power into October?
I keep waiting for this team to kind of come back to the pack a little bit in that division because the arms are just not there. Again, some of that is due to injuries we've talked about here. So does the Sandy move make sense? It does from that perspective. But if he's not the same guy, that is quite the haul to give up. It would feel on paper here. So I'm kind of with you. I might tread very cautiously if I'm Jed Hoyer and company there in Chicago with that proposed deal by Jim Bowden. But that is great food for thought. By the way, you want to come out to Vegas? How about this deal? It's an all-in summer hotel package right here at Circa. So what are you going to get for $400? How about two nights right here at Circa? That does include the resort fees and the taxes, and they are substantial. You're going to get $100 dining credit right there off the jump. How about $100 beverage credit? You can go through that relatively quickly here when you're at the daybed at Stadium Swim because it's a lot of fun up there. So this deal now goes all the way through September 4th when you go to CircaLasVegas.com. $400, all in, everything I just mentioned. It's a great deal. Hour number three straight ahead. We've got Whiff Wednesday. We got Joe Serralo. We got Wes Reynolds. So come on back with us. Oh, and oh, by the way, our best bets as well. That's all next year. Hour number three straight ahead. It's VSiN by the Books.
Bye.